So every sermon is, the object of a sermon is not for me to preach a good sermon. The object of the sermon is for some, for you folks, all of us, to get something from it and to be built up and to be edified. The Bible tells me, one of my verses that I use often in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, it says, feed the flock of God which is among you. That would be you folks. We're supposed to have a desire for the things of God, for the words of God. So I hope that will be your case this morning. Some people think that salvation is just saying a little prayer. And you could get saved by saying a little prayer. I was talking to a guy one time over on Avenue K, North Avenue K, not up there where Brother John lives, but down a little south from him. And I was going down the street there and talking to people, knocking on doors and things like that. And this guy had been through all of that. He had been through, somebody had talked to him, and he'd said a little prayer. I'm for saying a prayer. There's nothing wrong with saying a prayer, but salvation is believing on a person. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Sometimes people do that and they just want to get rid of you, maybe. Or maybe they don't understand what they're doing. Salvation is simple. I would never make salvation complicated. Whenever I got saved 47 years ago, it was not complicated. I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Sitting there on a seat in my house, at a little one-room house back there at 3006 30th Street in Lubbock, Texas. Salvation is simple, but after you get saved, there's a whole lifetime of service, supposed to be service, and there's a whole lifetime of learning if a person has genuine faith, and that's what this portion of Scripture is about. Do we have, or do you have, or does a person have genuine faith? We're here in the book of James, and James was an apostle. At least I believe that that's who it was that wrote this book. You know, you hear in the Bible Peter, James, and John. They were the main apostles. Peter, James, and John. James is that he's that one. He's the writer of this, and he followed Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, and he saw him, and he saw all of his wonderful works. He saw him heal the leper, raise the dead, preach to the people, and at the end, the night before Jesus Christ was crucified, then James was with Jesus and the rest of the disciples in the garden, and when they came to arrest Jesus, then where Jesus spoke to the soldiers, well, the Bible tells us in Matthew 26:56 and Mark 14:50 that all of the disciples fled. They all ran. You know, they got scared. Fear will do some crazy things to you, you know, cause people to do crazy things. But James, the apostle here, he ran and he fled along with all the rest of them. Now, they came back. They all came back later, and they got some boldness about them, and they preached and things like that. And James, this same James that wrote this book here, if I have it right, and I think I do, in James, in Acts chapter number 12 and verse number 2, this James here was beheaded. He was beheaded. He lost his head. He's the first or probably the second or third martyr in the Bible, you see. But he lost his head. And so he knows something, this James here. He knows something about faith, and he knows something about work and works, and that's what he's writing to us about, is faith and works. And so the Bible tells us, what we want to learn here this morning is this, that we need to let our works show our faith. If you have genuine faith, then your works should show it. You see, you're not saved by works, but if you have faith, then you will have some works to go along with it. You see, your faith on the inside of you will produce some works. You see, your faith will produce something to show that you are saved. As it says over in James chapter 1 and verse number 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's James 1:22. Look in James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. He said, in other words, if your religion hasn't changed your tongue, hasn't got a hold of your tongue, see, then something's wrong with it. It's vain. It's no good, you see. He said, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Do you ever make a phone call? Do you ever make a call? Do you ever make a visit on somebody, see? He said that's pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this. You see, do you encourage your brothers and sisters? That's what he's talking about here, see. So he said, if you got real, genuine faith on the inside in your heart, then it's going to come out. It's going to show. Your faith is going to produce some works, although you are not saved by works. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You're not saved by works, you see. You're saved for free. You're saved by grace through faith. But if you have genuine faith, if you have faith, then it's going to come out. It's going to produce some works. Amen. Many years ago, when I was at the age of 28, my wife and I, we loaded up a trailer. It was a 6x14 U-Haul trailer. We had two kids. I had two boys, age 1 1/2 and about 6 months, something like that. And we went off to Bible college. We left our house here to be rented. We just left it and went off. And whenever we got there, I had to put some feet to my faith, see. When I was 28 years old, I had been saved about 4 years. And I was lacking in some things. For instance, I didn't have very I always say this, I didn't have very many brains, and I didn't have much patience. I certainly didn't have those things, but what I did have some faith. I did have some faith. And so my faith took the place of me not having very many brains. And my faith took the place of me not having very much patience. Nowadays, I have a little bit more patience. I don't know if I've got much else, but I had some patience then. We went and we went off and drove to Fort Worth, Texas. Halton City, to be exact, and we found us a place to live. The first day, we paid $125 for a month on a trailer house, and that's where we lived. And I got up the very next day, and I went out looking for a job. See, so I tell you, I didn't have many brains, but I had some faith. I did. I'm not bragging, but I did have some faith. I just thought that God was going to take care of me, and I had a whole bunch of energy. Now, see, today I don't have much energy. I don't have much energy, but then I had boundless energy. I could work all day. I could do stuff at church all night. I could come home. I could get up and I could do it the next day. I had all kinds of energy, man. But see, I went out. I went out the very first morning, and I went around and looking for a job. I found me a job. I put some feet to my faith. I prayed, God, help me to find a job. I didn't just sit in the house and say, God, help me to get a job. No, I prayed, God, give me a job. I went out to find a job. See, the first thing I got me a job at I was 28 years old, by the way, and I became a grocery sacker. I got a job at Buddy's Supermarket sacking groceries. I worked my way up to the chain, and I became a checker after a while. I used to could type. I could punch those buttons. I could do all that. I can't do any of that stuff now, but I used to could. I could do that, see. See, but I had faith, and I put some feet to my faith, and I went out and asked God to help me. I found what I needed, see. I found a job. It wasn't much of a job, you know, but I didn't have any choice. Go out and find a job, get a job sacking groceries so I can go to school from 7 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock noon, come home, take 1 hour off for lunch, go to work at 1 o'clock and work until 9 o'clock in the at night, and that's what I did. That's what I did for several years there, see. So I put some feet to my faith and went out and found a job, see. If you have some faith in your heart, if there's genuine faith, if you've been saved, then then that faith is going to produce something. It's going to produce some works. See, so I did that 5 days, 5 days a week. I wouldn't work on Saturday. I wouldn't work on Sunday. I would go on Saturday. I spent all day out on a bus route picking up kids. We bring in 30, 40, 50 kids. We had about 6 buses, and I bring them. And then on Sunday, I did that for several hours on Saturday. See, nobody will do that anymore. Hardly anybody will do that anymore. They won't take time. They won't take time to go out on Saturday. Sunday, I taught a Sunday school class, and then I preached in children's church, you see. I did that. Sang in the choir, helped out, you see. Faith and works, you see, you're saved by faith. But if you have genuine faith, if you have, I don't know if I should say saving faith because the Bible doesn't use that term, but faith, if you have faith in your heart and you have been saved, you get saved for free, but it will produce something, see. It will come out. I've got people in this town out here. I could go up and down the street and I could find some. I could walk to their house right here, take 5-10 minutes. Right down some of these streets right here. And I have talked to them and told them how to be saved. And they prayed with me to be saved. But I don't know if they're saved or not. I don't know if they're saved. Are they saved? I don't know, because there's never been anything whatsoever, no change at all in their life. So I don't know if they're saved. I hope they are. I want them to be saved, but I don't know if they're saved, see. Because if a person doesn't have any works, then you don't know if they're saved. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. See, I don't know. So, he says, in verse number, let's go down in verse number 14, starting in verse number 14, he says, let your works show your faith. Verse number 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say? See, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say? Say he has faith. He have not works, can faith save him? All right, now there's the question. Can faith save him? What is the answer to that? The answer is yes, you can be saved by faith. You are saved by faith. Turn your Bibles, please, back to Acts chapter 13, one of the best places of Scripture. Acts chapter 13, verse number 38, here's Paul preaching, and he says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. I'm in Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that'd be Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe, you see that? That's faith. By him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. See. So the answer to the question is yes, you can. You can be saved by faith. When I was growing up, if we ever went to church, we went to a... how many of y'all have ever heard of a primitive Baptist church? You ever heard of a primitive Baptist church? Have you ever heard of a hard-shell Baptist church? Anybody ever heard of a hard-shell Baptist church? That's what they call it. Hard shell Baptist. Where they got that name, I don't know, unless it's something to do with a hard shell. I don't know, but that's what they called it, hard shell Baptist church, you see. And whenever we went, that's where we went. I had an uncle, his name is Uncle Paul, and I cornered Uncle Paul one time at a family reunion, talking to him about being saved. And asked him if he had ever accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and talked to him a little bit. He said, yes, he had. Yes, he had. But he never went to church. It's kind of strange. He never went to church. Whenever he came to Portales, as far as I know, the only time that he ever went to church, except for when he was a kid, he came to my church. I was pastor over here at Fellowship Baptist. He came to church. One time, after I talked to him about being saved, I went back there and I talked to my Uncle Paul. And I asked him, Uncle Paul, if you told me that you were saved, he said, don't you think you ought to get baptized? I mean, I'm his nephew. And I thought, you know. And he said, no way. I'm not going to get baptized. He said, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. You know how old he was? He was 85. He's 85 years old. He's not ready yet. He's not ready yet. As far as I know, that's the only time, and you know, as an adult, when he was a kid, he might have went, but He came to my church. He came maybe two times. You know what? He never did get ready. He died. Now, was he saved or not? I have no idea. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But anyway, he said he had faith. He said he had faith, you see. But you see, they're all hung up on election and predestination. That's Primitive Baptist and Hardshell Baptist, you know. That's what they're. And it's just a bunch of nonsense. You see, so he says there, can faith save you? Well, yes, it can. He gives an illustration. Look in verse number 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace and be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? See, verse number 17 says, even so faith that hath not works is dead, being alone. He said, if you see a brother or sister, they're naked and destitute of food, they don't have any things, and you know what to say. You know the right words, but you don't do anything to help them, then there's no evidence there to show that you care. Y'all see that? There's no evidence there to show that you care. You didn't do anything. He said, even so, if faith doesn't have works, then it's dead, being alone. Verse number 18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. So he says here, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. See, so he said that your faith can be seen by your works, by what you do, by your actions. See, so let me ask you this morning. Well, y'all are here. So you have faith. As I said, I have people all over. Not only Portales, but Fort Worth, Spearman, Texas, Albuquerque, that I have talked to, and I can go right down the street. This is Main Street right down here. I can take you right down the street there. There's a house on the right way down there where a fella prayed with me one night. His wife came in, and she prayed with me one night. I did the best I could to show them, to tell them what Jesus Christ had done for them on the cross, and Nothing ever happened. It's only been a couple of weeks ago, that me and Logan and I were talking to a fella out here, and he prayed with us, and he promised. Maybe he's saved. I don't know. Maybe he is. You see, because I don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. I don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. I don't know what's going to happen, see. I hope they're saved, but I don't know. They don't have any works, you see. We should not just have, this is my second point, we should not just have an intellectual faith, you see. In other words, just a head knowledge. Look in verse number 19. He said, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble, see. So you can't just have an intellectual faith where you believe that God exists, you believe that Jesus Christ exists, you know, they're a historical figure. See, that's what Obama's, the last president, Obama, that was his kind of faith. He believed that Jesus Christ was a historical figure. I don't believe those kind of people are saved, you see. Those kind of people are not saved. See, he says here, the devils believe and they tremble. It's just an intellectual kind of faith. So, you see, there are people, I mean, It's hard to believe, but there are churches in this town, even in this town, where you could go there and they would tell you that it doesn't matter what you believe. Well, you don't even have to believe in God. You're going to heaven, see. You can be an atheist. It doesn't matter what you believe. You don't have to believe the Bible. You can be an evolutionist. Can you imagine what it'd be like having evolutionists in the pulpit? Can you imagine that to somebody that don't believe Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3? They don't believe it's true. Chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, 8, 9, 10. They don't believe those things are true, but yet they're standing in a pulpit. That's all over this town, in every town in the United States, you see. You see, you can't just have an intellectual faith and think that there's a God up there, and no matter what anybody does, they're all going to heaven. Amen. you see. No, they're not. You see, you can't preach hell out of existence. Hell is still there. See, it hasn't disappeared. People are still going to hell, no matter what people think. If they're not saved, if they're not born again, people still go to hell. You see that? I mean, what would be the use of it? What would be the use? What would be the use of going to a church if they don't believe the Bible? If the man's not going to preach, if he's not going to believe the Bible, if he's not going to tell you the truth, you see. I mean, do we want some kind of sugar-coated message every Sunday morning that says everybody's okay? Is that what we want, you see? I don't think so. Most people don't. They'd like to hear the truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." People need to hear the truth. They want to hear the truth, you see. I mean, we don't want just some popsicle or lollipop every Sunday morning. You know, everything's okay and, you know. No. You can't just have an intellectual kind of faith like you said there. Number three, he gives three illustrations here. I don't have to spend much time on them. Number one is about Abraham. Abraham. He said, Abraham. Verse number 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And seest thou how faith wrought with his works and by faith was made perfect? Now, you know Abraham, and I don't have to spend much time on it because I preached that to you last week about Abraham. Abraham, listen carefully, got saved in Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6. The Bible says there that he believed God and God charged it to him or counted it to him for righteousness. 20 years later, he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar. You get that? 20 years later, in Genesis chapter 22. And God said, he's justified. In other words, when he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar. I hope y'all are familiar with that story. Genesis 22. God said, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and I want you to offer him up for a burnt offering. It means he's got to die. Abraham didn't stutter. He didn't stammer. He went and got his son Isaac. And they got a couple of men with him. They went up on top of Mount Moriah. And there he got ready, took a knife, and he was going to plunge it into the heart of his son. God stopped him. He didn't have to kill his son. You know what God wanted to see? He wanted to see, do you have real faith? His faith was genuine. That's what happened, see. He's giving us an example here of Abraham to show that his faith produced works. He had the genuine kind of faith, you see. If we have genuine faith in our heart, it's going to come out. It's going to work its way out, you see. I don't have that down in my notes this morning, but, you know, if you got genuine faith, then, you know, do something for the Lord. Do something. Do something. I mean, you came to church this morning. That's good. That's a wonderful thing. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. He gives an example of Abraham. That's number one. Look at the next verse. Look at verse number 20. Look at 23. I'll read that for you. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. See, that's Genesis 15, 6, and he's called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified. See, now Abraham, he didn't get saved again. It just shows that he had the right kind of faith. That's the justification that is talking there, and not by faith only, see. He gives another illustration in verse 15. It's called Rahab the harlot. It's found in the book of Joshua, chapter number 2, And on over. I hope you're familiar with the story of Rahab. But Rahab, here's this little story in a nutshell. Rahab heard that the Israelites were coming, and they were going to destroy her city of Jericho. And she believed in the God of the Israelites. She had heard how that he opened up the Red Sea. She heard all that. When God sent two spies to Jericho. They came by her house and she hid them And then she helped them to escape, you see. And the Bible says that right there was her works showing that she had the real kind of faith, you see. Amen. See, showing that she had the real kind. Here's this woman. She's a harlot. Y'all get that? She's a prostitute in this town here. Her house is on the city wall. She's there by herself, but she hears about this God, the God of the Israelites, and she believes in him, and she gets saved. She's alone in that city except for her family. Now, that would be a hard thing, see. Nobody to help her. Nobody to help her. Most people today, when they get saved, man, for them to come to church even the first time, man, it at least looks to me like it is. I don't see why it should be, but it is a hard thing for them to come. And then to keep on coming a few times. And then to get baptized after you get saved. And then to start reading your Bible. And then to start, you know, learning and growing in the faith, you see. To be edified, to, you know, to grow stronger in the faith, see. You know, I mean, for somebody to do that on their own, that's not an easy thing. He gives that as an illustration of faith and works. Let me give you one more. Look at the last verse. Look at the last verse. Verse number six. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Here, if we had a slab up here, we had a dead body up here. Say it's a man. Looks like a man. He's got all the features of a man. He's got arms, legs, heads, and all that kind of stuff. It looks like a man, but he's not moving. He's not breathing. He's not doing anything. You know why? His spirit is gone. His life, his breath, it's gone. See? So he's just laying there. He gives that as an illustration. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead if it's alone, you see. You have faith in your heart. You have genuine faith. You are saved as a result of the fact that you're saved and you have Jesus Christ in your heart. It's going to come out. You're going to come out. See, you're going to come out in some way. Faith and works, see. Look, if you want anything, if you want to be blessed, you can't just say that I'm saved and that's good, but you got to put feet to your faith. You got to put feet to your faith in your living every day. Turn your Bibles, please, back to the left just a little bit there to Titus. Titus chapter 2 and Titus chapter 2 just a little bit back to the left there. Titus chapter 2. And look at chapter 2 and verse number 11. Verse number 11, it says this. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, that's where you get saved right there. You get saved by the grace of God. But in the Bible, always this thing about salvation and then works is right after it, see. So he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teaching us, in verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see that? Faith is verse number 11. You get saved. But because you are saved, because you have been born again, because you are a child of God, then he says in the next verse that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, you see. You live right because you have been saved. You live right because you have put your faith in Jesus, you see, in your everyday life. How about in your home? Listen carefully now. Your kids don't just need to hear you say, I'm saved. They don't just need to hear that. They need to see it. They need to see. They need to see mom and dad praying on their knees. They need to see that they believe the Bible. See, otherwise, you don't know what you're going to raise up. You get that? You don't know what you're going to raise up. I could get more in detail, but I'm not going to this morning. But your kids need to see, they need to see you living out your Christian life every single day. They need to be brought to church by their mom and dad, not sent to church. Now, I appreciate even if they send them to church. I'm not against it. But they need to be brought to church. They need to have their children sit beside them. You see, they need to see all of that kind of stuff. They don't need to be asked on Sunday morning, do y'all want to go to church? Forget it, folks. Forget it. Get your kids, bring them to church, get ready on Sunday morning, do the right thing. I know it's hard, I know it's tough, but that's the way life is. It ain't fair, never has been, never will be fair. Amen. Never will be easy, see? Amen. Just get up, do the right thing. Get ready, prepare yourself, see? Don't roll out of bed at 9:45 or 10:15 or something or anything like that. If you've got to work, I'm not criticizing you. But man, get up and get ready. Get prepared, see? Get prepared to come to the church of, to the house of God, see? Bring your kids. Your kids need to see that. It might not make a difference today. Might not make a difference tomorrow. Might not make a difference next week, but it'll make a difference out there in the future, I promise you. You see, I do know a little bit about it. You say, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't have any kids at home. Well, brother, I used to. I had four teenagers at one time, you see. So don't tell me I don't understand. I know. I understand. I know exactly all the things, you see. And so your kids need to see that. They need to see you living your Christian life. I don't think they need to see anybody perfect. I don't think they think mom and dad's perfect. Or mom, or dad, or whoever it is, see. I know it's tough raising kids. It's tough for a mom to raise kids. But you can do it. You can do it. It's not forever. One day they're going to leave, you see. But you want to work as hard as you can because when they leave, you don't have as much control over them, see. But you need to have the Word of God in their heart, taught them. If you didn't discipline them, then they're not going to have any self-discipline when they get out there. See, so you got to work hard. That's why you get to do it when you're young. You don't go to raising kids, see, when you're my age. See, you don't have the energy for it. You got to do it while you're young, so you got the energy for it. Amen? Now, some people, they raise kids when they're older, but see, most of us don't. I don't have the energy, man. Instead of me dragging them around, they'd be dragging me around. You see, if you want to, you got to put feet to your faith, number one, in your living, number two, in your home, number three, in your prayers. You're praying for something, then put some feet to it. Turn your Bibles, please, back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, 9, 10, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." See, there's salvation. By grace are you saved through faith. Everybody stop for just a minute. Faith is the avenue through which God saves you. Faith is the avenue. You have faith. God will save you by His grace. He will save you for free, for nothing. It doesn't cost you anything. He did it all. For by grace are you saved through faith. He'll even give you the faith, that not of yourselves. That's what it says. Look at the next verse, verse number 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what we're talking about. But notice verse number 10. Look at it. Verse number 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, He made us. He made you to work, to do things for Him. See, He created you to work for Him, to do good things for Him. Amen? So put feet to your faith. Feet to your faith. Feet to your prayers. Don't just let it come out your mouth, but you got to work it out. You got to do it every day. Let your kids see it. Amen? Let's pray. Father,